Let me pray, and then we'll jump in to what I have to share with you this morning. Father, thank you that yesterday the church in the city rose up as the church in the city and went out and served the city. Father, thank you that this morning I know there are people who don't know you that are speaking differently about you and the church this morning, and we thank you for that seed that's been planted through service. Father, thank you for that. Father, you have given us a vision here at Saanich, and as I continue to unpack what you've laid on our hearts this morning, Lord, may we get excited, may we be stretched, may we be challenged, may we even be corrected as we move into the future with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were here last week, you know I started to share a vision for SBC's future, a vision that both the board and the staff support. But let me quickly, in case you weren't here, give you a very brief overview. I'd really encourage you to go onto our website and listen to last week's sermon, because last week we looked into the future together and we saw a church full of people whose heartbeat is to daily live 6-8 wherever they find themselves, to daily go out and walk humbly with Jesus, and to love mercy, in other words, compassionately serve and bless others, to go out daily and act justly on behalf of the poor and the oppressed. We saw a church like that. We saw a church that loves and welcomes people as they are, whoever they are. We saw a church where people gather in groups all over the city, groups that allow people to experience connection and community and care. Last week we saw a church that has a dynamic, Jesus-glorifying, life-transforming dream center in Vicente Guerrero. And now this week, I want us to look into the future again and see some more things. I want us to look into the future and see a church that has established a vibrant, life-changing, hope-inspiring dream center here in Victoria. A dream center that is shining brightly for Jesus by ministering to the working poor, especially single parents and their children. Not only do we want to create a dynamic dream center in Vicente Guerrero, we also want to create a dynamic dream center right here in Victoria. A dream center that will shine brightly for Jesus by ministering to the working poor. As I've gone out in this city and I've talked to key leaders, as I've talked to Christian parachurch organizations, I've said to them, where is the church missing it? And you know what they all say to me? The church in the city is not ministering well to the working poor, especially single parents and their children. And so as we started to germinate this and talk about this, we said, what if we have a dream center here in Victoria, maybe in the Esquimalt Vic West area, that is ministering to the working poor, that is helping single parents and their children, raising them up, giving them hope, allowing them to dream again, and introducing them to Jesus? What would that look like? And so we're starting to dream about that. Now, let me be clear. We want to move slowly towards the creation of Victoria Dream Center. And the reason we want to do that is we got some other big stuff going on. And our first step in moving that way is to put our existing Saanich Baptist local serve ministries under the Dream Center banner. And you'll start to notice that. The second thing is we want to create an adopt your block strategy, which leads me to the next, look into the future. Look into the future and see a church where hundreds of people from this church have adopted their blocks and are shining brightly for Jesus by blessing their neighbors. Adopt Your Block is a new initiative that we are going to tell you more about in June. But the big idea is we simply want you, and we talked about this a little bit last spring, but we're making it a more formal thing. We want you to adopt your block. We want you to go into your neighborhood, and we want you to make a commitment that you're going to adopt your block. And we're going to give you handouts. We even have little stickers made. Cute, eh? But we want to challenge you to adopt your block, where you will go into your neighborhood, you'll observe what is going on in your neighborhood, you will connect with some of your neighbors, and you will bless your neighbors in your neighborhoods in small ways, or maybe even in big ways. And as you do that, you are going to shine brightly for Jesus, and you're going to be used by Jesus to show people the love and the hope and the grace that Jesus wants to pour out in their lives. And so you're going to hear more about this in June, but we're going to challenge you in June to commit to adopting your block. And then as we move into the next ministry year, as we move into September, our next ministry year, we as a church collectively are going to adopt our block. And what that means is over this next ministry year, we are going to pour mass amounts of love and grace onto Churchill Estates and onto the co-op around the corner. Places that have numerous people that are working poor, places that have a lot of single parents, where we're just going to pour love onto them. And our ministries, our youth ministry, our kids ministry, young adults ministries, our other ministries are going to pour out love onto those communities. We as a church are going to adopt our block. Look into the future with me. And just imagine, picture in your mind your block, whatever it is, an apartment floor, a townhouse complex thing, like a cul-de-sac where I live. Yeah, imagine your block, okay? You get it? You got it? Okay, imagine your block and imagine Jesus using you as you adopt your block to pour out his love and his grace on your block. Imagine what could happen. Imagine. And now look into the future with me and see a church that's gathered weekly in multiple locations to celebrate Jesus, experience community, and have their lives shaped by the word. Now, we talked about multiple locations last week. If you weren't here, again, listen to the sermon. We talked about adopting the well, the Centennial Park Baptist Church, and it becoming part of us, and us having two campuses and one church, and you can listen more about that. Let me just say, because there may have been misunderstanding, that is not a fait accompli. What I was sharing with you last week is to call the church to pray. Pray for wisdom for our leadership. Pray for the well, because they need to make a major decision, and we need God's will to be done and him to be glorified. So be praying about that, please. But this week, let's talk about celebrating Jesus. We see over and over in the Bible that when the people of God gathered together to celebrate God and his great acts, it was highly festive. That's because when we human beings celebrate something, it's festive, and it's not usually quiet. Think about a wedding. It's festive. It's a celebration. It's not usually quiet. Think about going to a Seattle Seahawks football game, and they win. It is not quiet. It is highly festive. If the Canucks ever win the Stanley Cup, this city is going to celebrate. Yet here's the deal, as Christ followers, we really have something to celebrate. We celebrate a risen Jesus. We celebrate God and his great acts, and that is way more important than celebrating winning a Stanley Cup. In fact, it says in Psalm 150, listen to this, it says this, "Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 15 says this, "David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brothers as the singers who should played loudly on musical instruments, on harps, on lyres, and cymbals to raise sounds of joy." In the book of Revelation, it tells us that in heaven, multitudes of angels and all the redeemed raise their voices and cry out together in praise to the Lamb who was slain. And I'm guessing that's not quiet. The question is, do we believe Jesus is alive? If we really believe Jesus is alive, then our church services should never be dead. When we gather on Sundays, we gather to celebrate a risen Jesus. We gather to celebrate God and his great acts. That's what we're about. Now, you can't talk about congregational worship without talking about music. So let's talk music. Four things about music: style, mix, volume, attitude. Ready? Here we go. Style. Musical style. We all know that musical styles are very subjective. Some of you have different musical styles. There's people that have musical styles. I was talking to some teenagers yesterday. They were telling me about this musical style I didn't even know existed. And they loved it. They were singing in Swedish. Okay, whatever, you know. Some of you like country. I don't know why, but you do, right? That's all right. You can mock me. If I had my way, it'd be classical one week, jazz the next, right? That's me. Everybody has a style, and here's the thing. The Bible does not prescribe one musical style. The Bible gives us lots of freedoms, and that's why lots of churches have lots of different styles. And here at Sandage, we have a style. It's a style of celebration, and it is what it is, and it's not going to change. Number two. Mix. Let's talk musical mix. Here's the deal on mix. A bad sound mix is harsh and grating no matter what the style and no matter what the sound level. If the sound is not mixed well anywhere, never mind a church, go to a theater, go to the Royal Theater, and if they miss the sound and they don't mix it well, man, that is just tough. And here at Sandage Baptist, creating a great mix is a work in process. You need to understand something. It is very hard to mix this room. This is a very difficult room to mix. The sound techs are trying to smooth the mix and make it great. We've made some adjustments to the drums with different cymbals and some covers and stuff. Ask Luke. We're trying. So here's the deal. It's hard to mix this room. It's just the way this room is shaped. But you don't have permission, folks, to go back to that booth and complain to those people. All right? That's a no-no. They are hardworking volunteers. Do not go back and complain to them. If you want to complain, you come to me. All right? Or go to Luke. Do not go back to our hardworking. He's in charge of music. Come to me. Come to me. I'm fine. Come to me. Don't go to Luke. Don't go back there. Not fair. They're hardworking volunteers that put a lot of time in. That's not good. Don't go back there, because they're going to tell you, did you not hear what Steve said on May 15th? You're not supposed to come here. In fact, we'll even put a sign up. No complaints allowed. All right? That's mix. It's a hard room to mix. They're trying. Let's talk volume. All right. Volume. Everybody likes volume at a different level. There are some people who want it quieter, some that want it louder. That's reality. I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, I came in here, 9:30 service, coming in late. Someone grabs me and says to me, the sound is way too loud. You got to turn it down. I walk 20 feet. I'm not kidding you. Someone says to me, the sound is way too quiet. You got to turn it up. Welcome to my world. What do you do? Right? Listen, we monitor the sound levels. Number one, they are safe. They are safe sound levels. And they, frankly, are low compared to many churches around today. But let's remember, we gather together to celebrate. And celebration isn't quiet. Now, however, having said that, we realize that different people have different listening preferences. People don't enjoy sound levels that are higher than their listening preference. So here's what we're going to do, and then I'm going to tell you what you need to do. We're going to play Goldilocks and the Three Bears, all right? Remember the story of the Three Bears? Three bowls of porridge, right? One was too cold, one was too hot, one was just right. So here's what we're doing at Sandage. The sound level you experience at 9:30 today, that's our sound level here. If you like it, come to 9:30. If it's too loud for you, go to the 11. We're going to turn it down a bit. If it's too quiet for you, come to the 6, because we're going to turn it up a bit. All right? So you have three choices. No more complaining. Right? And if you want to come to the 9:30 and you find it too loud, if you go out in the foyer while we're singing, all right, we're going to make sure that foyer sounds down a little bit. All right? So we're not blasting the foyer too. All right? So you got that? Now here's what you can do. If you experience discomfort because of the sound volumes in our church, there are three things you can do. Number one is try a different seat, because there's different zones here, right? Try a different seat. Try a different service. I just explained that. Or get some earplugs. We have them at the back. Put them in your ears, right? It's fine. There's no problem with doing that. My mother-in-law, I'll tell this story, was sitting behind me a few Sundays ago and said it was loud. I went and got her earplugs and said, here, put these in. It'll be way better. And it was. All right? That's not being disrespectful. I'm saying that's an option for you if you want to be at the service and you found it too loud. Otherwise, I told you what we're doing in the other services. So that's style, that's mix, that's volume. Let's talk attitude. All right? Often, the issue around music and volume has nothing to do with anything other than someone's heart attitude. And the heart attitude is this: I want what I want when I want it. And we always need to check our heart attitude through our lives, not just with music, but generally through life, saying, am I really saying I want what I want when I want it? Because if I am, that's not a Christ-honoring, others-focused attitude. In fact, I'm going to go somewhere that's going to get me in trouble this morning, but I'm going there. I've had people say to me, they've said to me, you know, Steve, you need to make sure the older people are happy because they're the ones that give you money. The young people don't give you money. Don't worry about them. Worry about the older people. I've had people, frankly, say to my face, if you don't do what I want, I won't give my money to this church. I've had that. And you know, as I want to talk to you pastorally for a minute. This is a pastor thing. I'm not beating you up. This is a spiritual growth moment for you if that's your attitude. That attitude is so disappointing to me on a whole bunch of levels. Here's why. Number one, it disappoints me because people that have been in church a long time have missed some basic truth somewhere. First of all, folks, everyone learn this. It's not your money if you're a follower of Jesus. It's God's money that he has given you to steward. So first of all, you need to check your head. Don't ever say my money. It's God's money. It's not your money. If it's your money, then you got a Jesus problem you need to fix. Secondly, Jesus says, God says in his word, that if you are a follower of Jesus and attending a local church, you need to steward some of the money he's given you to that local church. It's not an option. And the third thing is this. Please understand this. Giving is an act of worship. You give out of worship to expand the kingdom. You don't give to get what you want. If you give to get what you want, you're a consumer. And Jesus says we're not to be consumers. Also, I think that attitude angers God. I think God is angered when people threaten to hold his church hostage. And I think that really ticks off God, and I think God looks and says, if that's your attitude, you need to get on your knees, you need to repent of that attitude and change your heart. And thirdly, I think if you have that attitude should tell you, you have a fundamental problem. And that problem is you're self-centered, not Jesus and other-centered. And that should be a spiritual heart issue that you go, wow, this is way more important than music and sound levels and money. This is about my heart before Jesus. And my heart's not right. And so if you find yourself saying, I'm not giving to Sandwich Baptist Church because I don't like the way Pastor Steve dresses, or I don't like the music, or I don't like this, and I'm not going to give, you need to repent because your heart's not right before Jesus. It's a bigger issue than just money. You know, when I'm driving in my car with my boys, when I used to drive and they were living at home and they were teenagers and they'd get in the car and they'd listen to them at CBC. I'd be listening to a talk show on the CBC and they'd go, Dad, CBC, just like some of you are thinking CBC right now. But they would go, CBC, no way. And they'd turn to one of their rock stations and they would turn it up. And you know what I'd do? Nothing. You know why? I love being with my boys. You know, I was here a few weeks ago. I was standing back in the back, and there were children dancing to our music, little kids, dancing and singing. And I go, that's what it's worth. That's what I want to give my heart to. I want a church full of kids, don't you? I want a church full of teenagers, young adults, and young families. And if we want to see that, folks, we gotta give. We gotta give up our preferences. We got to give that up. Which leads me to my next, look into the future. look into the future and see a church that is drawing a large number of teenagers, young adults, and young families, raising them up to go be 6-8 world changers. A church where older Christ followers are sacrificing their preferences and desires to see that happen. Okay, I've been here a long time and I'm getting old. So I want to challenge us senior saints today. If you're over 50, I'm calling you a senior saint. Get over it. I want to challenge us to make sure, and just build on my last point, that we're not focusing on ourselves. As the most mature Christ followers in the family, we're supposed to be the ones who sacrifice for the next generations. I think one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit working in a church is when seasoned members put their preferences aside to reach down to the next generations. And I want to thank you. Because many of you are doing just that. Many of you have set aside your preferences in many areas, including music and sound levels, so that we can effectively reach down to the next generations. You know, that is a Jesus-honoring, legacy-building, kingdom-advancing thing to do. And when we have that attitude, Jesus can use us in powerful ways to raise up a generation who will follow Jesus. I mean, folks, we don't know who we currently have in our Sunday school. We don't know who we got there. We don't know how God's going to use those kids to change the world. We don't know if we got the next Billy Graham or if we got the next Mother Teresa or whoever. We don't know who we got there that we're shaping. We don't know who's in our teens ministry and how they're going to go out and change the world for Jesus. We don't know. I mean, I think back to when I was in a youth group. I became a Christian later in my teen years, and I went to youth group, and there was three guys in youth group that nobody ever wanted, Brian Joyce, Dave Harita, and me. And yet there's a lady who will be sitting in the back at 11 o'clock named Vern Scott. She was one of our sponsors. And her and Murray Padgett, they all thought we were yahoos. They all thought there was no hope for us. And yet they raised us up and they poured into us. Today, Brian's a pastor in Prince George. Dave is the executive director of our denomination in BC. And I'm obviously standing right here. That's the power of saying we're going to reach down. Listen, I looked it up this morning. Guys, you got 80. 80s, where's 80 on here? Okay, each inch is a year of your life. If you're a guy, the average lifespan is 80. Some of you are on borrowed time. Be thankful. Okay, so when you're born, this is your life when you're born, right? Some of you have got a lot of life left. Some of us, not so much. I mean, if you're 55, you're there. You know, if you're 70... you're there. But here's my question. Here's my question. Question is, how do you want to spend the last years? If you're 55, how do you want to spend this time? What do you want to do with those years? Surely it can't all be about golfing and sitting in the sun and driving your RV and complaining about stuff. Yeah, we won't go any further on that one. But can I give you a vision, those of you who got this left? How about you say, I'm going to pour it in. I'm going to use my last years to leave a legacy. And I'm going to reach down and I'm going to pour into the next generations. I'm going to pour into those kids. I'm going to pour into those teenagers. I'm going to pour into those young families. I'm going to pour into those young adults. I'm going to pour in. I'll be really transparent this morning. That's my amount of time left, right there. That's what I got. If I make 80, you might kill me before then. If I make it, this is where it is, here. You know what I've said to my wife? I've said to my wife, dear, as I shared with you a little bit last week, for the next few years, I want to lead this church to make a big kingdom difference. I want to see people raised up in Jesus. I want to inspire and equip people to live 6-8 lives, and let's see what Jesus is going to do. That's what I want to spend my time focused on doing, on advancing the kingdom. I don't want to talk about music. I don't want to dress music. I just want to move ahead with what God's calling us to do. And then as I move beyond that, and eventually, you know, after I retire and I've only got a few years left, I said to my wife, I just want to pour into the next generations. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. A few weeks ago, Sylvia and I were in Los Angeles going to the Dream Center, and we were there on a Sunday night. And we went to a church called Mosaic. Mosaic is a church run by a guy named Irwin McManus, who's a well-known author. And it's right on the Hollywood Strip. It's right down from the Chinese Theater there, right where the Walk of Stars is. It's in an old nightclub. Sylvia and I go in, and we sit down, and instantly we're greeted by their connecting pastor. You know how he knew we were a visitor? Only people with gray hair, whole place. It was us, all filled with young adults and young families. Filled. And then they started playing the music, and you think our music's loud. You don't know what loud is. And music was loud. There were lights. They were singing songs I didn't know because their music was homegrown. Irwin came out and spoke, and then we left. And as I'm walking down Hollywood Boulevard with my wife, you know what I said to her? Dear, when I retire, I want to go to a church like that. I want to go to a church like that where I walk out every Sunday going, man, I can't stand that music, but I love the church. I love the church. I love the fact that we can be there, the gray hairs pouring into those younger people. That's what I want to be about. And senior saints, I want you to join me on that journey. I want you to change your attitude. Give up on the music. Let's move ahead together. Let's resource what God wants to do in this kingdom, and let's move ahead together. Picture a church that's raising up the next generation in Jesus, raising them up to be 6-8 world changers. Picture that for me, and picture the seniors leaving, shaking their head, going, I can't believe the music that these younger folks listen to, but I can't believe how Jesus is using me to raise up the next generation. And that's way, way, way more important than the rest of the stuff. Catch that vision. Catch it. Catch it. Look into the future with me and see a church that prays expectant, audacious, or audacious, depending on how you want to say the word, prayers that God uses to change them and their communities. Folks, a big God has given us a big vision which calls for big prayer. A vision that is going to cause us to pray with a strong sense of expectancy and dependency. A vision that's going to cause us to lay hold of the promises of God and to pray with authority. A vision that's going to cause us to pray with boldness for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. A vision that's going to cause us to pray for our neighbors and our communities and our leaders and our church. And then look into the future. And see a church full of sent people. People who go live 6-8 using their gifts and their talents to share Jesus with people who desperately need him. Our missions philosophy here at the church, if you're new, is very simple. Individually, we want to celebrate anyone in our church that goes anywhere in this world. You go any in this world, we want to get behind you, we want to support you, we want to cheerlead you. We want to finance you. Collectively, we are like a rifle bullet. We are zeroed in on the San Quintin Valley right now. Till God changes that vision, that's where we're focused. And I'm so pumped to see people going out around this world. And I look forward to sending more people out around this world and praying for them on this stage on your behalf. People we can support and cheer on as they follow God's leading to go to the far corners of the earth to reach unreached people. Now, we think missionaries are super saints. We think they're Jesus Navy SEALs, you know? Did you know this? You may not know this. The word missionary is never mentioned in the Bible. Did you know that? That's because all Christ followers are supposed to be a missionary. A missionary is simply a person who has been sent by a church into an area to share in word and action the good news of Jesus. And do you know something? We're all sent. And if you don't feel sent, I'm sending you. You're sent. There you go. Jesus said in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. We are all sent. We are all missionaries. If you're a successful business person, ask yourself, why did God make me good at business? Surely it was not just so you could have lots of earthly treasure or you could save enough money to spend the last 30 of your life on vacation. He gave you talents so you could bless others and resource the kingdom. He gave you talents so you could be successful, so you could go into the business community, an unreached people group, and reach people for Jesus. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a missionary to an unreached people group. The families in the parks, the neighbors, the preschool, they're your unreached people groups. If you're a student, you're a missionary to an unreached people group. If you're, the same thing applies if you're a school teacher or a police officer or a government worker. You're a missionary to an unreached people group. God is calling us to live 6-8 using our gifts and talents to share in word and action the good news of Jesus with others. Look into the future and see a church that is not only sending people to the far corners of the earth, but is full of people who realize that they too are called into to go into the life of this city, into this unreached people with the good news of Jesus. Picture that. And lastly, look into the future with me. And see a church that is taking kingdom ground and is being used by Jesus in such a way that thousands of people are talking differently about Jesus and his church. Hundreds have began the journey of walking with Jesus. People are continuously taking their next steps towards living fully engaged 6-8 lives. A generation is being raised up to be an unstoppable force of 6-8 world changers. And peoples, families, neighborhoods, and communities are experiencing hope, transformation, and change. Church, we are on an amazing journey with Jesus. A journey that is going to see people talk differently about Jesus and his church. And right now, today, people are waking up all over the city and speaking differently about Jesus and his church because of what happened yesterday. We're on a journey that's going to see people beginning the journey of walking with Jesus. People continually taking their next steps towards living fully engaged 6-8 lives. We're on a journey to see the lonely find community. Young people be raised up to be 6-8 world changers. We're on a journey to see poverty-oppressed children released from that cycle because of education and love. We're on a journey to see single parents find support and hope in Jesus. We're on a journey to see marriages and families put back together again and then thrive in the name of Jesus. We're on a journey again to see the oppressed freed, the hopeless find hope, and people's eternities being changed forever. We may even see whole neighborhoods or communities transformed. Church, I'm asking you to plant your flag and commit and go all in with me. I'm challenging you to live 6-8. I'm calling you to commit to be Jesus and other focused, not self-focused. I'm calling you to give of your time and your talent and your money. And in our bulletin today, there is an insert called Giving Options at SBC. It tells you about all the ways you can give to the ministry here at SBC. They're right up there. You can give through Sunday Offering, Connecting Center, which is our debit machine, office and mail, website, text. You can even give by text. We're coming into the 20th century. Pre-authorized withdrawal, online banking, coming soon. Read it all here. We need to resource what God is doing in a way to plant your flag is by saying, I'm all in. And part of being all in is I'm going to steward the resources that God has given me towards a church that has a vision. So I'm calling you to commit. Commit to live 6-8, commit to giving, and commit to joining me and the leaders and the staff on this incredible journey of following Jesus into the future that he has for us. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that we'll do that, that we will commit together to joining together, to move into the future together, a future you have for us, a future that is an incredible journey. Father, a future into growing with you, a future into celebrating you, a future into living 6-8 and transforming neighborhoods, communities, and lives for all eternity. God, thank you. You've called us to this. May we walk boldly with you into the future you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.